Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back. Hey, this is going to be a great subject. I love this subject. I find it fascinating. I will confess, I do a lot of work with women clients. And so we have brought in the big gun, the expert, Laura Kogan, who is vice president with the practice management and consulting organization called Fidelity, Fidelity Institutional Wealth Services. And fair disclosure, I am a Fidelity fan. Fidelity, we use Fidelity too, as part, we have a relationship with them on the advisor side where we, when we manage money for a client and we're picking mutual funds or stocks or things like that, we hold that money at Fidelity. We've used some other custodians as well, but Fidelity is our favorite. So get that out there for you so you know about the relationship. Laura, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, David. Happy to be here.
It is my pleasure. And for our listeners, they can find an entire universe at fidelity.com. You guys have a tremendous number of resources. And what a lot of people don't know is how many aspects there are to Fidelity, and I have to do a little bit of education when I meet with people and mention Fidelity, that you have your mutual funds, you have your direct work with the retail side, working with the customer directly, and of course you work through wonderful registered investment advisory firms like mine, where we put the money at your firm and then we advise the client and use the funds we can get through your platform. So not everybody knows that, and you also have your institutional wealth services division. So I mean, this is a great organization. So Laura is on the program because a lot of what she does is this focus is on women. And so our listeners today, Laura, what I want to do is if we can speak directly to the women out there who listen to this program about what they should expect in working with advisors, and in the process, of course, for other folks, they'll understand a little bit more about the differences in the genders and how they approach finances and how they approach that relationship. So thank God we've got a whopping 20 minutes to talk about all that.
It sure is a lot of content, David. Happy to be here, and thanks for having me.
So that's my setup. So dive right in, and then I'll be happy to comment as we go through.
Sure. The thing I'd like to, you know, really start with saying is that the role that I play within Fidelity, I work with the Institutional Wealth Services.
Yes.
So that's the organization. It's a mouthful, but it's the organization that works with registered investment advisors,
all right, good,
such as your firm.
That's us.
And what the end investor is really looking for is they're looking for an advisor who gets them and who can understand sort of where they're coming from. And so my role, because Fidelity's mission is to help the end investor achieve their financial goal. It's very simple. I don't work directly with end investors, so how do I achieve that? I achieve that by helping the investment advisors who work with us understand and do a better job of working with those end investors, and in particular with engaging their female clients.
Good.
Which is something I'm also very passionate about. We created a program for advisors about 2 years ago that continues to roll out new elements of the program. And we basically said the foundation of this is we did it in three parts. One is really understanding the science of the neuroscience and the behavioral differences between what men and women want and how they're different about how they approach wealth. And we'll talk about some of that research today. But also what we call the manifestation of that science. How does this show up? You know, when the client's going in to meet with their advisor, what happens in those meetings? What discussions do they have? And how we can be curious about each other. And then the response, how we work with each other. And we'll talk a little bit about how investors can really negotiate their relationship with their advisor so that that relationship meets their needs. And not to be at all taking a back seat in it, it's time to really get engaged. So that's what the program is really all about.
That's excellent. What is the probably one of the, let's just, we'll do this in layers. What would you say is a standout difference for the genders as it relates to how they view that relationship with the advisor, and then we'll talk about some expectations they have for the advisor.
Sure. Well, we can start with myth busting.
Okay.
I think a lot of people will perceive, you know, if you were just to sort of ask your average person on the street, people might think that women don't care about this topic or they don't want to be involved. We didn't find that at all. As a matter of fact, in the gender study that we did in our Millionaire Outlook study, we found that only 15% of women said that they were not interested in getting more involved in the advisory relationship. So that leaves a whopping 85% of people, of women, saying they want to be more involved.
Mm-hmm.
I think another big myth is a lot of people assume that a woman wants to work with a woman advisor. And again, the research does not play that out.
That's true.
We found that most women want to work with an advisor who gets them, what we call the enlightened advisor, and looking for, as Kathleen Burns Kingsbury put it in her book, the majority of women are just looking for good chemistry with the advisor.
I like that. Okay. And somebody perhaps that understands them, somebody that is maybe a little bit like them, so that there's that connection.
Right, exactly. But we have to also say on the advisor side, women have told us in our study that advisors could do a better job, meaning that the advisors should be thinking about how they communicate differently and approach differently and listen differently.
Hmm.
And, you know, the women investors out there, you know, I'm sure this has happened to many of your listeners. You know, you go into a meeting with an advisor for the first time, you know, and they hand you this questionnaire, you know, I want to get to know you. And it's all questions about, you know, your assets and if you have a second home, and I call those fact-based questions, right? They're not really getting to know you. They're getting to know perhaps your portfolio, or your account situation, but that you're not the assets that you hold. You're more than that. And so if your advisor's not asking the right questions to get to know you, then it's up to the investor to elaborate and to really help them get a deeper understanding of who you are, what your goals are, what you're really trying to achieve with your wealth. And women especially have a lot going on, not just trying to save for their own retirement, but they're often taking care of elderly parents. They're often juggling career and family and investment management. So it's a lot to deal with. And so it's up to sometimes, unfortunately, it's the end investor who has to make her needs more vocally expressed to the advisor.
Well, I've seen a trend, Laura, and I'm glad to hear it's supported in your research. I've seen a real trend that women are stepping up and saying, I want to be more involved. I've got two or three that are popping into my head where they've come in with their husbands and said, I want to be more involved in this process, and pretty much flat out said it. So they are heeding your call that they need to say what they are looking for and that they want to be involved. And as they do that, I think that obviously advisors, and that's why you're doing that at Fidelity with this support program, which is very good, is that, you know, this is, it's different. It's a bit of retraining for advisors to accommodate, not just accommodate, but embrace that to be what you call the enlightened advisor.
Exactly. And it's a new relationship. You know, if you think back to coaching theory, they always mm-hmm. say negotiate the relationship between the coach and the client. It's the same thing with an advisor who really is a different kind of coach to help you through, you know, the financial mess of life instead of your personal mess of life.
Mm.
And so we have actually put something out there that I'm not sure if your listeners are aware of, but it's something that we call the Fidelity Financial Compatibility Quiz. It's a mouthful.
I like that.
But if you just Google for it, it's a long URL. But up on our website, we have a quiz that if an advisor isn't really engaged with the couple today, and your female listeners want to find a way to start to bring this discussion up, either with their spouse or with their advisor, the financial compatibility quiz is a fun way to kind of get started. It's 9 simple questions that helps sort of get the topic out in the open so that people can begin to talk about their differences. And we actually have the opportunity for a spouse to email it to their spouse after they've completed it and invite them to finish it with them. And it actually prints out their answers and talks about how they might be compatible or incompatible and how they're thinking about retirement and their future together financially. And then they can also share that with their advisor so that the advisor can start to play a role in talking with them as a couple as well.
I like that. That's very good. Laura Kogan's our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. She's Vice President with the Practice Management and Consulting Organization of Fidelity and Institutional Wealth Services. That is a mouthful. Fidelity.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back. We have Laura Kogan on the line with us. She is from Fidelity, Vice President there, and we're talking about female engagement in the financial planning process, investing, and also how to get on the same page with the advisor. There's a lot here, and we talk also kind of set the stage for getting into a little bit about, Laura, the gender differences and the communication. One of the differences that I have seen, and I'd love for you to expand on this, is the difference in the way that men and women communicate about their finances when I sit down and talk with them. And so I know that's a big one. Can you give us a little peek into all that vast research you guys have done on this subject? And is there real truth to the differences? And can you kind of summarize for us the way men approach it and maybe the way women approach it?
We absolutely can, and I'm glad you asked, because we do this in our Millionaire Outlook study, and we look at how men and women respond differently to just basic questions about what they're looking for in their investments and what their sort of point of view is. Hmm. You know, for an example, you know, to quote a statistic here, so twice as many men said that they were seeking investment returns, as those that said they were seeking holistic guidance, you know, as they're working with an advisor. But when we looked at the female respondents, the answers were 100% flipped from that.
Wow.
So it was twice as many women said they were seeking holistic guidance from their advisor versus just looking for investment returns. So, you know, and I know you're I'm not preaching to the choir here, but I know when you work with your clients, David, you're looking at them as a holistic person, and you're looking at their, you know, sort of holistic picture of what they're trying to achieve, and it's not just about performance reports and what's this latest stock or bond doing today. And that's important for women. Another key one that we found is just making that connection. Hmm. Again, if you're focused on me as a whole person versus me as a performance portfolio, it's easier for the advisor to get connected to me as a woman.
Well, you know what's interesting about that, Laura, is I want the same thing. I don't want just to be, what is the difference between the return I produce for that client and what the S&P 500 did for the last 3 months?
David, that's a great point. And I actually just want to say, you know, this is like a brief little footnote to say, you know, we quote a lot of statistics and studies.
Right.
You know, Fidelity's a big company, and we have a lot of access to a lot of data. But I want to make sure everyone understands statistics and averages, they're really not relevant at the individual level. You know, when you hear, like, the average American family has 2.4 kids, it's impossible to have 2.4 kids when you look at a single family.
Right.
And so they help us understand groups and our societies, but every single person's an individual. You know, we have individual and unique needs, interests, behaviors. And that's another thing that I think we have to really think about as we think about how men and women approach investing differently is we're raised differently. You know, the society in America raises girls to behave a certain way and praises them for certain behavior. And we look for our boys to be a little tougher, you know, more individualistic. And that does show up later in life as they think about investments and their role with finances.
Well, and you know, one of the things also I think with men, there tends to be this not just individualism, but also some of this hierarchical, competitive, you know, and I kid around with people sometimes and say, you know, I've written a couple of books and I wrote them for everybody, but especially for the men. Not that I think they need the book more, but they need to know that I'm an expert so that they'll relax a little bit and let me tell them what I think they need to do.
Exactly, and stop competing with you.
Yeah, we're not competing, but everybody's a little different, and obviously that bears into it. And is there with women more of a collaborative approach?
There is, and that's something that we've seen a lot of advisors do is actually doing small events for women clients that get them together and allow them to kind of discuss these in groups, whether it's, you know, getting together for, you know, a wine get together at 5 o'clock with the few of your clients. And then a lot of times we find that it's the investors who are bringing these ideas to the advisors and saying, hey, you know what, like, we don't want to be invited to these golf outings you keep inviting us to. You know, how about sponsoring our team in a 5K run walk race? Because we like to talk with each other and learn with each other.
We do monthly, you'll love this, Laura, we do monthly client birthday parties. We get to get everybody for the month of March, we invite them to come to our office and we have a little party. And there were three women that sat together at my last party that are, all three of them were widows. And they exchanged, they had not met, they wrote each other's number down. And then we do an annual party, and they said, if we will all three go to that party together, and I know they're going to be talking and they'll become friends.
Absolutely.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, there's something that, you know, as we observe just the science behavior of men and women, you know, women travel in packs. You know, we're often found even going to the restroom with our friends, you know, and going together in groups. And so we want to learn in groups, and we want to feel that connection, not just with our advisor and his or her team, but with other clients. And so think of ways of sort of opening up those doors. You know, another key part of this whole thing, though, is as we're talking about women, is what about the husband? You know, and a big part of it that we've seen is for some advisors, they actually have to recruit the husband to be part of the team to say, hey, we want to get your help in involving your wife more. And so this isn't just for the female listeners out there. I want the guys out there to also think about that.
I'm sure they are right now. All right, Laura, very good. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back. Stay right there.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
And we are back with Laura Kogan, Vice President of Fidelity. And I wanted to get right to this also, Laura, because we talked about the way society raises our culture and the way boys and girls are raised differently. But there is really a difference in the brain. Can you speak to that, about the mental hardwiring differences between men and women?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you asked, David, because as we were putting together this program that we call Engaging Female Clients for Advisors, it was very important to us as we did so to really start with the scientific fact-based element of this. You know, one reason why we did that is we knew for the most part that we were speaking to male advisors. And so we wanted to show them that we, you know, we weren't doing this as a touchy-feely subject, that we were doing this as a hard-hitting business and scientific-based topic. And so that's when we reached out and actually brought in a behavioral psychologist who's actually been on your show, Kathleen Burns Kingsbury, worked with her to really understand the neuroscience differences, how women are connected, and how, and as you've seen from her book, where different parts of our brain light up based on when we're being connected with someone else, whereas a man, not so much. You know, the MRI isn't lighting up when he's connecting with others. And also, another big one is the attention to detail. As many of your married clients will hear and married listeners know, women will remember details that husband has long ago forgot. And this is just part of how we're wired to pay attention to those details. So an advisor who's paying attention to the details of his female client's lives and really tracking with her is a good way to put it, she's going to notice that. Whereas they might not think to need to do that so much with their male clients. And these are things that are really based in the hardwiring of the brain. And again, these are not every single person is the same, but there are some really fun books out there on the neuroscience of how men and women are different and how that shows up.
Well, but there's also a different perspective or view about what the purpose of wealth or the accumulation of assets is really about.
Yep.
And a lot of times people will keep score and really measure, and it's a big deal, and just the accumulation in and of itself is the goal, not the means to an end. And so let's talk about the differences there, because I'm sure we've got them on that point as well.
Yes, we do indeed, and you're right. And the behavior you just described of this sort of competition to have the most success and the biggest number of assets, we see that more from the male point of view. Whereas for women, the approach there is really, what will this wealth do for me? You know, what's the purpose of this? Not just in my own personal goals, but in my goals as part of this community. Remember, we said that women are connected. We think about connection differently than men do. And so women are going to be sort of pulled more as an advisor is thinking about the charitable contribution, or even for an executive woman, is there a point in her career where she can stop working for an employer and work off of her, you know, investment savings and then start thinking about giving back and being connected to her community. How her wealth serves her there is very different. It allows her to perhaps, you know, retire early and go work for a nonprofit.
Interesting. I've got so many questions for you, Laura. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take another quick break. We'll come back. I want to talk about, with this knowledge, because I think the thing that's interesting, and you can think about this, and we'll come back and talk about it, the knowledge level of advisors who are learning all of this that we're talking about, I think there's also a piece of this that women need to be careful because of the increasing knowledge about them that advisors have. So chew on that for a second. We'll be right back.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we are back with Laura Kogan. She's Vice President at Fidelity. And I wanted to give you a chance to think about that question, Laura, because I'm going to bet you don't get that a lot. But as I'm a CPA by training, and I am very skeptical, and I also routinely caution people, and I've written a book about how to get great advice and avoid scams. So I'm very sensitive to the risk of somebody sounding like they're nodding their head at the right time and answering and doing all the things that you are. Your Fidelity has said, hey, here are things that you need to know. Here's what the research says. And unfortunately, some financial people taking that and using it for manipulation.
Absolutely, David. And, you know, one fact that remains out there in the world is that the word advisor is not a regulated term.
Correct.
So a lot of people can use the word advisor, but are they really an advisor? And then certainly, are they really the right advisor for me? And that's where women have to take a step and really look at this with the skeptical eye that you just mm-hmm. described. You know, interestingly, as we were putting together this program, and it was over a year-long program of content that we put together for the advisors that we work with who do custody assets on the Fidelity platform,
right.
One thing that was really important to us, and it might have irritated some of the advisors a little bit because they just wanted to get to the tips and techniques and what they could do today, is we held back on all the new business development or sales tips and techniques, and we didn't launch those or make those available to the advisors in the program until we were about 9 months into the content. Because it was important for us to focus on the education material first.
Right.
So that they could really begin to understand the female mind, the female psychology, how women have different needs as it comes and relates to how they think about investments. And then also allowing the advisor to begin to think about how this relates to their practice and give them the option of opting out and saying, hey, you know what, perhaps this isn't right for my business. Only after they got that content and spent some time really thinking about that and going through the exercises did we begin to release some of the ideas about, you know, tips and techniques you can do, whether it's events or how you communicate with clients, the education materials that you provide to clients, to do what we would consider sort of new business development techniques. And we did that for that purpose because, like you, we're sensitive to that. You know, we are very careful about who we do business with here at Fidelity. We don't want to ruin our good reputation.
Sure.
And so we didn't want to, you know, seed the marketplace with a bunch of tips and techniques to people who wouldn't really know how to use them for the good that we're
right.
hoping all this will do.
That's what I'm after. And so to our women, the female listeners out there, I will stress to them that if it sounds too good to be true, a lot of times it is. And just be very careful for that new relationship that seems to have all the right answers and is a wonderful listener. Just give it some time to make sure it's sincere.
And get a second opinion. Have someone you trust, you know, look over your shoulder and guide you along the way. And it doesn't always have to be a male. You know, get another female to come in with you. I often find they're better at kicking the tires of anyone else. And so, you know, reach out, ask other people, and at the very end, trust your gut. If it doesn't feel right, it probably isn't right.
Well, and you know why it's so I agree 1,000%. The reason why it's so important to trust your gut is that gut is the accumulated life experiences and how we perceive the world around us and things that we go, you know, that just doesn't feel right. I'm not doing that, even though it does sounds right or this person seems to be what I'm looking for. And the second opinion, I routinely tell people, you know, talk to three advisors. And people that come in to meet with me, they might be surprised for me to say, well, you need to meet with a couple other advisors too. But I recommend that because it gives you perspective. And perspective is the name of the game when choosing something, one versus another. How do you do that? You got to have that perspective.
Absolutely.
Laura, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm going to have you come back and we can talk some more and get into a lot more subjects. And you can interview me and ask me some of my anecdotes of what I've seen out here in the planning community. Laura Kogan's been our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, Vice President with the Practice Management and Consulting Organization. That is Fidelity Institutional Wealth Services. And we are very happy to have her on the program, fidelity.com. Laura, thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.